Hello, everybody. Mic check, everybody okay? Okay, good. So it's interesting how different things intersect, and I think we'll see that as the next hour proceeds. I'd like to start, though, with a song. So let's see if we can get this right here. All kinds of things dancing around.
Just because the tracks are laid, or just because your ticket's paid for, and some crazed conductor keeps on calling out your name, you don't need to board the train. You don't need to board the train. Trains of thought will come and go, but you are not your thoughts, you know. So why get all caught up in where they lead? You are who these thoughts are passing through. Don't you see? You are who these thoughts are passing through. Underlies what passes by. Don't mistake the weather for the sky of your being. Why mistake the weather for the sky? Feelings rise then fall away, even those you wish would stay. So why equate your sense of self with mood? Who emotion passes through. Don't you see? You are who emotion passes through. Be free. Taking birth in this human form, the chance to see that who we are was really never born, can never die, is always free. Script you like and make a melodrama of your endless cabaret. You know you can still enjoy the play. Yes, you can if you're still and you know how to play. Just treat it like don't believe a thing. You are who these scenes are passing through. Don't you see? You are who this play is passing through. Be free.
Okay, I'm done. That kind of sums a lot of it up, I think, at least for me. Before we get started, I'd like to offer a quick prayer. I teach that I may learn. I am open to what there is to be learned and to hear what comes through me and sharing it with my friends and fellow travelers. So it is. So I'll be candid. My talk tonight is a talk to myself. And in having this conversation with me, myself, and I hope that other things will spin off that you find meet you wherever you're at right now. The two words that have kind of rung in my mind in the last 4 or 5 days are patient perseverance. Patient perseverance. And what has brought me to this, you might call Shauna a batting slump in baseball, or shooting slump in basketball. Not scoring very well, striking it well in golf. I've just kind of felt off a little bit. Sometimes more than a little bit in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Come to find out part of it's physical. Not to be concerned, I've been taking a sleeping supplement to see if it would, what kind of result that would give me as far as quality of sleep, and come to find out that that has maybe affected my physical. Not my food body is in a way it's saying something to me about it. It's not optimal. So, you know, patient perseverance, what is it that we're persevering to be? And I think the end of the song really kind of summed up, we're here to be free. And I think in the context of awakening together, it's to free ourselves from our psyche, our self-concept, from clean the dirt off the mirror to see the true reflection of who we are. And I'd like to read something from Nisargadatta that helps remind me of why I'm doing this and why some of the practices that I have taken on hopefully have been, and I'm sure will in the future also be meaningful. Not that it always feels that way. But again, as Kirtana was saying, those are just passing clouds in the sky. So I'm reminding myself of this as I speak. The primary purpose of meditation is to become conscious of and familiar with our inner life. The ultimate purpose is to reach the source of life and consciousness. But incidentally, the practice of meditation can deeply affect our character. I am a slave or slaves to what we do not know. We are slaves to what we do not know. Of what we know, we are masters, or at least can be masters. Whatever vice or weakness in ourselves we discover and understand its causes and its workings and overcome it by the very knowing. Whatever vice or weakness in ourselves, we discover and understand its causes and its workings, we overcome it by the very knowing. The unconscious dissolves when brought into the conscious, into the consciousness. The dissolution of the unconscious releases energy, and the mind feels adequate and becomes quiet. Discovering, understand its causes and workings. Because when we do that, the unconscious starts to become conscious. And being brought to light will dissolve. I have to say that I've had a little experience with this. I would also say that I sense that there are other things that have not been brought forward from unconsciousness yet that are still lingering and hopefully loose. I'm becoming loose from their embedding. Sometimes it seems if you're somebody that keeps score, and I naturally have always been a person that kind of keeps score for myself, maybe not so much for others, but definitely for myself, that in this journey, the deeper I get in the unraveling, the more I see that still needs to be unraveled, potentially. And I'm trying to learn to be comfortable with that. Patient perseverance. So what I'm doing and trying to do and trying to implement are a couple of things I will share with you. The first thing I'm trying to make sure is that I'm being compassionate with myself. While I may not feel some of these things, I do truly believe and have very strong faith. I almost call it a knowing. But again, what Kirtana said in the song is thoughts and feelings are just passing through. They have nothing to do with me. They're really consciousness's experience. And I'm not consciousness. So in understanding that to some degree, on one hand, lets me off the hook. Yet on the other hand, I wonder sometimes if that continuous get out of jail free card that's there is something that I might at times use as an excuse to fall back into an old pattern. Or maybe there's a word I like to use for myself sometimes. It's called being congruent, that my belief and my actions are at least somewhat consistent. I'm not working against myself. And I think that's an interesting intersection point. I think sometimes it depends on where you come from. My upbringing, being in Seventh-day Adventist, was very black and white, very much so. Plenty of potential guilt on the table for not doing, what God wanted you to do. or even having a thought about doing what Jesus said or the apostles said, or at least what the preacher said they said you weren't supposed to do. I remember crazily enough even walking by a piece of trash, and I didn't pick it up, feeling guilty that I didn't pick it up because it was there. It's something I could do. You know, why didn't I do it? Crazy. So with someone like Nisargadatta, who was around the Hindu faith a lot, I'm not sure that he would call himself a practicing Hindu. But actually spoke from and sat on animal skins, which was a huge affront potentially to many who came to visit him that were of that faith. Someone who smoked, knew that smoking wasn't particularly good to his for his health, but didn't consider it to be an issue or a problem. I don't think he grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist, but I do find that, at least for myself, that intersection to be very somewhat challenging and unclear at times for myself as far as what freedom, the freedoms that I exercise, are they really in my best interest? So not that I am a believer in a lot of what is purported to have been written in the New Testament, but there are some things that do resonate with me. And there's one that a couple of verses that Paul has in 1 Corinthians that talk about everything for Paul. He said, everything for me is allowable, everything. Then he said, but not everything is beneficial. So finding that intersection of where the allowable is freely taking place, and I'm naturally moving toward what's beneficial without having to make too much of an effort. And the reason I mention that or say that, again, talking to myself, is that I've also come to believe, and Ramana Maharshi is purported to have said, and I have not looked this up for myself, but I've heard it from several different sources quoting him, that the one thing you don't do is you don't take the mind, you don't try to conquer the mind. You don't try to take these things head on, because you'll always lose, because you're not really taking on ego or yourself. You're taking on, in a sense, all that is, all is consciousness. And what you have, and that's, you're still stuck at the wrong level. You know, you have to transcend that. You have to go be able to go beyond that. And so what I hear myself saying is, Ron, don't worry about that. Just keep focused on the light areas, the things that I'm not, the not this, not that, the neti-neti. And then everything will take care of itself. Somewhere in there, there's a line of, I don't want to use the word, maybe it is, maybe it's a good word, personal responsibility. You know, where is that little small element of free will that, when exercised, can make a difference? Nisargadatta has clearly said that if light and life are in conflict, that you can lose conquered ground. If light and life, what I'm doing, are in conflict, I can lose conquered ground. So therein again is part of my quandary. Where is my role in free will on light and life being congruent? Where is it that my spiritual ego is stepping over the line and really taking on something it's not going to win, because it never really wins? When in fact, maybe what I should be doing is the old quicksand move, is just not moving, is just being with what is. And sometimes knowing that's going to be uncomfortable. I'm not coming this evening having an answer to a few of these questions. Again, I'm here to be the student. And maybe something's going to come forth out of this, that it's an aha, I don't know. But I'm just putting it out there, being honest, doing an honest assessment. So Don, I know you love this quote, so I will read it, because again, it falls under the compassion part. So patient perseverance, the first thing in kind of doing a gut check is the compassion part in the Zargadatta's words, you are perfect, you just don't know it. Learn to know yourself and you will discover wonders. All you need is already within you. You must only approach yourself with reverence and with love. Self-condemnation and distrust are grievous errors. Then he says something that's very interesting. He says, your constant fight from pain and search for pleasure, they're really a sign of the love that I have for myself, that we have for ourselves. He says, all I plead with you is this, make the love of yourself perfect. And I think what he means by that is by placing attention on either flight from pain or the search for pleasure is in fact, in a practical sense, not really loving myself. And that troubles him because he doesn't want to see our misplaced attention or love used in that way. Patient perseverance. Compassion. So perseverance. What are some of the different elements of perseverance? Well, at least some of the things that I have tried to emulate and do at different times and easy to forget. Alert watchfulness without judgment, being aware. Now, obviously in meditation, as Zargadatta said, we can have a clearer picture of what's going on with my thoughts, how active they might be or inactive. You know, am I just basically having a conversation with myself with my eyes closed, as Jacqueline would like to say? Or am I just kind of watching the clouds, you know, float by in the sky? What is another perseverant practice that I've found to be helpful besides alert watchfulness? And alert watchfulness, I was as simple as setting a timer on my iPhone. George had forwarded on a nice little program. Something chimes. I can't remember the first part of that, George. At least wasn't a loud beep, but something a little more pleasing that would go off every 15 minutes, and I would stop and see where my mind was, where take stock, where was I? Westminster chimes, thank you. For a long while, I was very dedicated to identifying what I was not. And, you know, to a large degree, well, I shouldn't say that, to some degree, I have no clue as to the capacity. I think I intellectually understand what I am not. I think this current time, I wish I felt like that as much as I, as strong as my understanding is. One thing that I haven't done in a while and that I'm doing right now and is part of this is doing an honest assessment. An honest assessment. An honest assessment is not judgment. It can be, it could be, but it's just taking stock of what really is going on. So having played a lot of sports growing up, you know, there are usually reasons why you were in a batting slump playing baseball. You were dropping your right elbow. Or, you know, you were letting your hands drift. There were reasons why that many times you couldn't see, somebody else had to point it out to you. Or in golf, you bend that left arm, you're in trouble on the take back. You're in real big trouble, but boy, can you see and feel yourself doing that when you're actually addressing the ball and you're stepping up to hit a shot? Many times not. You can go for months and be doing that and wonder why the ball is not going where it's supposed to be going. Or not squaring up in basketball before you take a shot. So in taking inventory, taking this honest assessment, it brought me back around to kind of outlining the particulars that I had found very meaningful and bringing me to where I am now. I don't really have somebody else physically around me that is in a position to give me kind of that honest spiritual assessment. Although, you know, there are, whether the people around you are of the spiritual bent or not, there are cues from time to time that come up. You know, no criticism should go unwasted. It's always worth investigating. There's always some potential little element of something there to be learned or seen. But I'd realized I really hadn't done an assessment in a while. So once the assessment is kind of done, and what my plan is, at least for myself, and I would suggest that maybe it's something to consider if you find yourself either in this place or at some point in the future you might, is just like they do in the space program, when a rocket is launched and has a destination, let's just say it's the moon, it doesn't just get launched, pointed in that direction, then that's it. There is constant feedback going on. Now, the astronauts and the actual space vehicle themselves, they have some instruments that can give them some feedback. they have something called Houston Control that will tell them many times what corrections to make. And they'll be double-checking their instruments against what is on the ground. And then when there's something that's off and is not consistent, that needs adjustment, they make a course correction. And generally speaking, these are not huge, significant changes. They're just a lot of mini changes over the whole journey. So I've been in the process of reminding myself, so Ron writes, you know, what is your Houston control? You know, what is it that potentially gives you feedback that maybe something needs some course correction? And I've tended to sense over the last 2 or 3 years, well, I don't know that there's a different people may have a different sense of this, at least for me, which does not particularly come naturally, is that it's feelings. Something just doesn't feel quite right. Something feels a little out of whack. Sometimes you can put your finger on it. Sometimes I can. Sometimes I can't. A teacher I had for a while used to use the term divine alarm clock. That's a good term. Jennifer Hadley would say, okay, you know, you're start feeling any kind of discomfort, you'd call it more pain to be, you know, you're getting on the pain train. That's your divine alarm clock telling you that maybe you ought to check and see if you can get off the next station. That something's going on. You know, don't ride that train. You can stay on that train for a long time if you're not careful. It'll take you as far as you want to go with that. So look for that next, use a spidey sense is there for a reason. It's something to be acted on. And whether it's been me just not quite physically feeling up to my body, my food body, not being quite as in tune as it has at times in the past or not. I haven't felt quite there with that divine alarm clock. So that is something I'm going to open and look at a little bit more after I kind of get my biology straightened out here over the next couple of days. I think, though, that the most important thing, and I have to say that it is something that I have continued to do, and that is to keep on keeping on. Not to stop. Stopping is stagnation. And even though it might be extremely small steps that may not feel comfortable, maybe my feet are hurting as I'm taking those little tiny, tiny, small forward steps. But at least for myself, I've come to the belief that leaning forward and taking some type of forward motion is always the best position for me to be in. Because I've done the other, and that I can't say that the result was what I would like. Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you got to keep moving forward. Got to keep moving forward. I don't really want to give up the conquered ground. So, one more. Two P words: patient, perseverance, and compassion, and consistency. Being consistent. It's interesting how sometimes when I think I'm kind of giving myself a break, I find at the end of the break, I'm a little closer to that that station of getting on the pain train as opposed to being further away from it. So at least for myself, I think there's a cautionary tale there that even though something may not be bearing fruit or producing a particular result that I feel, and of course, there is no me to feel anything, which is always the the crazy thing about this path. That I know that that consistency is part of keeping that forward motion. And not though to make it a something I have to check off a list, something that is part of my spiritual ego. I don't think of it in that way. I just find, right, when I used to play a lot of basketball, and I played a lot of basketball, if I didn't play every other night, if I didn't shoot, if I didn't practice, I could tell, I mean, if I went 4 days without playing, man, it affected my game. There is no two ways about that. No two ways about that. And the few times that I was in the zone, which is quite an amazing feeling, I'm looking forward to feeling that in life at some point. It was always around a lot of consistent practice, a lot of engagement. So consistency, I think consistency kind of has two different possible applications for me. One is to take these reminders that I've given myself, the perseverance reminders of kind of what brought me here. And then also consistency as it relates to at least being aware of potential contradictions. Coming back to this word again, congruency or incongruency. Nisargadatta also said that what is supremely important is to be free from contradictions. That the goal and the way must not be on different levels. The goal and the way should be life, I would say, in the marketplace, as Bernadette Roberts would say, must not be on different levels. Life and light must not quarrel. Behavior must not betray belief. Call it honesty, integrity, wholeness. You must not go back, undo, uproot, and abandon the conquered ground. You must not go back, undo, uproot, and abandon the conquered ground. Tenacity of purpose and honesty in pursuit will bring you to your goal. Tenacity of purpose and honesty in pursuit will bring you to your goal. Use the word a lot. Earnestness. Earnestness. And I think there's an element of that in tenacity, and particularly honesty. And there's another word that he used to use or has used at times is a word Carl called arsiduous pursuit, which is you kind of sick the hounds on them. You know, you don't really, it's not a gentle jog or a walk. It's, you know, it's something that you're putting your whole body into, your shoulder into. So, you know, as I was kind of trying to take personal stock before this, and I have to say that probably as much has been done during this as before, you know, a lot of it has to do with mind, thoughts. How can an unsteady mind make itself steady? Well, we know that thought and mind are always going to be, to some degree, unsteady, even if it's a right mind. If you're kind of going this split mind of A Course in Miracles, the right mind and the wrong mind. But an unsteady mind cannot make itself steady. It's the nature of consciousness to move, to create, to roam. And that's really all that's happening, is that it's consciousness, not me, not you. It's consciousness that is in motion here, whether it's the thoughts, whether it's my food body sensations. That has nothing to do with Ron Rates. Because as Katana said, I am the unborn. As Nisargadatta would say, I am before consciousness. All I can do is to shift the focus, first of all, of consciousness to beyond my mind. And in the awareness, being aware of awareness practice, I think there is a clearer element of that there, and even a trying to transcend or get a sense of even consciousness at rest, being separate and apart, which is very foreign to my human conditioning. I keep trying to put myself in that space. I'm not exactly sure what's happening there, if anything's supposed to happen there. Not sure. But I do sense that I have to move to a different level than the mind. And I tend to focus first on consciousness, what I call consciousness at rest. And then if there's a separate awareness beyond that that manifests itself, that I can, that takes place, of which I would never be able to experience it or to explain or pass on to anybody else because it's unexplainable from what I understand. And so be it. But it appears that if I just get to the consciousness at rest point, that the mind is then still. And that still point that's been in the background is then able to step forward. And I'm able to be potentially in that space, even though there's activity around me. How do I steady my mind? I refuse all thoughts except for one, the thought I am. Now, the mind will rebel in the beginning, but with patience and perseverance, it will yield and keep quiet. The mind will rebel in the beginning, but with patience and perseverance, it will yield and keep quiet. Once you are quiet, things will begin to happen spontaneously and quite naturally, without any interference on your part, on my part. A questioner once asked Nisargadatta, can I avoid this protracted battle with my mind? And he said, yes, you can. Just live your life as it comes, but alertly, watchfully, allowing everything to happen as it happens, doing the natural things the natural way, suffering, rejoicing, as life brings. This is also a way. Just live your life as it comes, but alertly, watchfully, allowing everything to happen as it happens, doing the natural things the natural way, suffering, rejoicing, as life brings. This also is a way. I'm going to go back to the refuse all thoughts except one, the thought I am. Reminds me very much of Shauna's homily this morning, coming from Inner Ramana. Reminds me of a phrase that I didn't coin, but I like to use, called being brilliant at the basics. And some of this stuff is just so basic and so easy for me to get a little sideways and making it a lot more complicated than it needs to be. Just one thought. I am. For me, the challenge that I practically face, or what I practically face, I wouldn't particularly call it a challenge, although it could be defined as that, is, okay, that's fine and good. And once I go downstairs after getting up and doing my thing in the morning, you know, all kinds of stuff is going on. All kinds of stuff going on in all different kinds of directions. And not that I am upset about what's going on. I'm really not. Sometimes I don't particularly feel naturally in the space, the I am space, carrying forward as my foot touches the bottom of the staircase. At 7 o'clock in the morning. But I'm committed to that patient perseverance of putting these different practices that brought me to this place into consistent practice again. As my form of course correction. for me, that is the perseverance. Even if I don't feel like it, still doing it. As I say that, I get so many different examples in my lifetime, you know, whether it's I really don't feel like going for that run, but after I went for that run, I felt so much better. I'm so glad that I did it. You know, there's many different, why does some of that medicine that's the best for you taste so bad, or you think it's going to taste bad, or you know, there's this kind of this, what's this resistance thing that comes up when we pretty much have a good idea that the final result's going to be pretty darn positive because of prior experience. I don't know, maybe it's that mini-me ego. I don't know. It just doesn't want to fully surrender. It's always wants to have that war, that conversation, and not want to be quiet. But I think for me, I've come to the point in the last day or two that I'm just going to be ignoring that voice that's trying to pepper me with those questions, and try to be resistant. And I can't say I'm going to be flying or running, but at least walking and at the least crawling, you know, forward to put some of these practices in place. And that's not to say there doesn't come a time where a bridge is crossed and a practice should be left behind. But the little bit of coaching that I did have in sports usually would always go back to foundational things. If any of you ever know anything about basketball, well, one of the most foundational things is shooting a free throw. And there's a reason why the Larry Birds and the Michael Jordans of the world were the players that stayed after practice for a couple hours, most of the time shooting free throws, practicing free throws. And these were the best natural athletes in the world in what they did. And that's when they weren't in a slump. But that's kind of my story tonight. I'm kind of sticking to it. It's just a revealing of what's going on with me and something I've encountered in the last three or four weeks. And I very openly and selfishly has done this as a pep talk to myself. But again, I hope that you can find something that is helpful to yourself. Let's see, I think I had one additional song I wanted to play, so let me see if I can bring that up if I can. I think I've got a couple more minutes. I'm not going to be able to play the entire song. It's a little bit longer. It's called The Song of Your Heart by Peter Cater. To share a screen here. Thank you. And end the music there. But just in closing, I'd reiterate, at least for myself, patient perseverance mixed with compassion and consistency, I think is a formula that will be helpful. As always, it's great to have the opportunity to sit in the seat of the teacher, but your student and your friend. Thank you, everybody.